This is episode number 36 of the Sports Trivia Face-Off. My name is Brent. I will be one of your hosts today. The other host will be Aaron. Aaron, how are you?
Hello, I'm good. I'm f***ing with my microphone. Give me a sec.
Okay.
Sorry.
It's time to drop the puck on the Sports Trivia Face-Off. That's right, this is episode number 36 of the Sports Trivia Face-Off. My name is Brent. I will be one of your hosts today. The other host will be Aaron. Aaron, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well, thanks, Brent.
And our guests today are Andrew and Joe. Both have been on the Sports Trivia Face-Off before. Joe, could you please reacquaint yourself with us?
Hey, guys. Nice to hear from you guys again. My name is Joe. I'm from currently in New York as a trivia writer for Fleetwits. Since the last time I was on, not much difference. I was on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire as a plus one in October. And besides that, still doing the trivia thing, writing and playing and hosting.
Thank you very much. And Andrew.
Hey, Brent, how's it going?
It's going well. How are you?
I'm doing okay. It's sunny in sunny St. Paul, Minnesota right now. Believe it or not, we do have sun for at least 8 hours of the day.
I've never seen it. I don't buy it.
I'm here with my fearless co-contestant, Tesla the dog, and we're getting amped up for an exciting hour plus minus of sports everything. Although hopefully you're not going to be asking a question about plus minus.
Such dumb stat.
There are your players for today, and before we get started, let's go over the rules. Here are the rules for the Sports Trivia Face-Off. Each player will get a chance to answer 5 questions in a category they choose. If they answer correctly, they get 10 points. If not, their opponent can answer on the rebound for 5 points. Twice per game, a player may challenge his opponent to answer a question first for 10 points, but the opponent can answer correctly for 15 points. 2 intermission questions are worth up to 20 points, and we will explain the shootout once we get there.
We need to decide who goes first. I have my handy dandy Google Home here. Joe, you haven't been on the show in a while, so I'm going to give you the call of heads or tails.
Tails never fails, except when it does, so I'll go tails.
Let me see if my Alexa will do it, because I got one in here now.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Alexa, flip a coin.
You've got tails.
Ah,
that was never so much less dramatic.
But yeah, it has to have the coin flipping sound.
Yeah, Amazon really dropped the ball on that one.
Oh, I tell you, I'd ask for a refund.
Make sure they give it to you in coins, just for the irony.
Joe, you will be our contestant first in round one. Andrew, you will go first in round two, and whoever is trailing will go first in round number three. Our first round categories, written by Ryan Clefcorn Myers, are a little poodle named Fifi, that's spelled F-E-F-E, bastardized sports, and always listen to what chicks have to say.
Let's see. I'll try bastardized sports. I'm curious.
Bastardized sports. These are pretty much just exactly what it sounds like. They are sports sort of like other sports, but that have been changed significantly.
Okay. Sounds good.
Number one. In 1986, the Chicago Politicians and the Rockford Metros played the first ever test game of what new sport, which NFL exec Jim Foster invented after watching an indoor soccer game at Madison Square Garden.
And it's something like a soccer game. I'm not sure. I'm just going to guess indoor soccer.
Indoor soccer is incorrect. Andrew?
I'm going to guess arena football.
Arena football is correct for 5 points.
Jeez, yeah.
The Arena Football League now consists of only 4 teams, with the 5th on hiatus.
Oh, dear.
So there you go. And Bon Jovi's team is still one of the active ones, oddly enough.
Yeah.
Philadelphia Soul.
Yep.
I think we had like a minor league arena football team here for a hot second or something. I remember I was at a street festival and they were doing cheerleader tryouts for, it was weird.
Yeah, I think we had an Arena Football League team for one season, maybe two, before people realized this is really kind of odd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, I did go to a couple games. Number two, what is the most common term for the version of lacrosse that is played in a hockey rink? Mercifully, they remove the ice first.
Oh, let's try the indoor again. Indoor lacrosse.
Indoor lacrosse is incorrect, Andrew.
I've heard this because my lacrosse friends love to talk about the distinction between these two, but I'm never going to pull it. So I'm going to say Buick lacrosse.
Buick lacrosse, oddly enough, is incorrect, though you had a couple of letters right. It is box lacrosse.
Ah, that's right.
Okay. Good start so far. Thanks, Ryan Klefker Myers.
As soon as you said his name, you could have just seen my eyebrows just go way
all right.
Actually, I think this is one I wrote. Number three, Pesa Palo. That's PESAPALLO. Is a Finnish version of what sport, but is played on a pentagonal field?
Oh my God. All right. Pesa Palo. I don't speak Finnish, so I can't even go through that route. now let's, I'm going to challenge. Challenge.
Andrew, you have been challenged.
Yeah, no kidding.
Luckily, right. I didn't say you are challenged.
In this case, I most definitely am challenged. Because I don't speak Finnish either. Let's see. Pentagonal field specifically. I'm just going to guess soccer.
Soccer is incorrect. The answer is baseball.
Wow.
No kidding.
Okay. Wow.
And it's a weird game. One of the weird rules is a ball that's hit over the outfield boundary on the fly is considered a foul ball, not a home run. So you have to keep the ball in play, and it's a running and batting game more than just a power hit the ball out of the park game.
Hmm. All right.
It is a shame neither of you speaks Finnish because Pesa Palo translates to baseball.
Oh, it kind of sounds like it when you say it out loud. Yeah,
Pesa Palo. I'll be darned. Yeah. Number four. What is the official name of the sport whose object is to advance a flying disc into the opponent's end zone? This is to Joe.
Okay. Is it just officially called Ultimate?
It is officially called Ultimate for 10 points.
Cool.
Number five, if you're playing a sport on a rink the size of a soccer pitch with 11-man teams and using a ball instead of a puck, what bastardized version of ice hockey are you playing?
Oh, I think I've seen this somewhere. I'm not sure the official name. I think it might be called broomball.
Broomball is incorrect. Andrew?
Broomball was going to be my guess. I'm just going to go with Skaki.
Skaki is also incorrect. The correct answer is a game called Bandy. B-A-N-D-Y.
Oh, I have not. Oh, well.
I've heard of that. It's an I think like a Native American ancestor of hockey. If my Canadian training doesn't fail me.
Yeah, the eclipse I saw on Nin Lee's Rules of Sports, which is a fantastic YouTube site, by the way, for getting questions like this and for just finding out all these weird sports. It really was weird. It was like soccer, but everybody had skates and a stick. And cool. It was one of the most odd things I've ever seen, other than half the other sports that are on there. Andrew, we are to you with a little poodle named Fifi. Or always listen to what chicks have to say.
I got to go with what chicks have to say.
These are five questions about phrases and terms coined by Los Angeles Lakers legend Chick Hearn.
Oh, thank you, Ryan.
Number one, Chick coined what notable nickname for the free throw stripe?
Is that the key?
That is incorrect. Joe?
I'm going to guess the charity stripe.
Charity stripe is correct for 5 points.
I think the key is the name for the half circle at the top of the...
I believe so, yeah.
It is.
It's called the key.
Yeah, when you combine the circle and then the lane, the way it was shaped way back in the day, it looked like a key. Because the lane was narrower than the diameter of the circle.
Oh, no kidding.
Okay, yeah. That makes more sense.
They made it wider specifically for Wilt Chamberlain. Number two, when a player lost the ball due to showboating, Chick would always say that what came off the hot dog?
Huh. Oh, boy. I'm going to say the bun.
The bun is incorrect. Joe?
I'm just going to guess the mustard.
That is a good guess. That is correct for another 5 points.
Cool.
Nuts. That was my first thought. And I thought, what would, if he's going to be exposed for that, wouldn't he just be one, never mind, one big wiener?
All wiener, no bun. Yeah, it's water.
Oh, I think we better move on now. Whenever Chick was doubtful of the attendance numbers reported that night, he'd say something along the lines of, if there's really 18,000 here tonight, a lot of them are dressed like what?
Chairs.
I'll take that. Seats. Yeah.
Okay.
Correct for 10 points.
Hooray.
Number four.
I said, thank you for that charity interpretation.
Well, it's closer than if you said like Ronald McDonald or something like that.
That's called a callback, Brent.
Well done. Blew that one right past me. brother. Number four. Sports broadcaster Katie Nolan would know that Chick coined what term for the final minutes of the game when the reserve players get to come in?
I think that's got to be garbage time.
Garbage time is correct. I think that's a sly reference to maybe her show, but is her show called Garbage Time?
It was.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't think it still is. When she was on Fox.
Yeah, I think she's left for ESPN now.
Yeah, but it was also on at midnight, so I think it was like a triple entendre.
Gotcha. Number five, which Lakers player did Chick nickname the Old Serb?
Jeez, if I only knew anything about basketball, beyond that it is a sport that is played with a thing called a basketball. The Old Serb. I'm going to go Stojakovic.
Stojakovic is incorrect. Joe?
I'll guess Vlade Divac.
That's another good guess for Joe. That is correct for 5 points. After the first period, Joe has 35 and Andrew has 25. That takes us to our first intermission question, which is all about balls or pucks. We're going to give you the name of a sports league, and you need to tell us who the official manufacturer of the ball or puck used in that league is.
Fascinating.
Cool.
And not surprisingly, the four leagues we're going to mention are the NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, and NHL. And you have all the time you need to think about that. While they think about that, here is something to listen to or find the fast forward button. If you enjoy the Sports Trivia Face-Off, please consider contributing on Patreon at patreon.com/sportstriviafaceoff. And if you're already a contributor, thanks. We are back. Our players have their answers to the first intermission question, which is about the official manufacturers of the Big Four balls and pucks. Andrew, number one, who makes an NFL football?
I said Wilson.
And Joe?
I also said Wilson.
Wilson is correct for 5 points apiece. Joe, number two, the Major League Baseball.
I think Rawlings.
And Andrew?
I also think Rawlings.
You both think correctly. Number three, who makes the NBA basketball, Andrew?
I think this is Spalding.
And Joe?
I also said Spalding.
You guys are both 3 for 3. And finally, who makes the pucks used in the NHL, Joe?
Okay, this is where the wheels come off. The skates come off. I just said, still STIHL. I know they make hockey sticks. Hopefully they make pucks as well, still.
And Andrew?
I really ought to know better on this one, but I don't. Mm-hmm. So I guessed a rubber manufacturer, and I went with Goodyear.
That is incorrect. The answer is Sherwood. S-H-E-R-W-O-O-D. And I didn't think that was right, but I have a collection of them here on my desk. And if I look...
Yeah, I don't.
Yep.
I have at least two or three in the house here, but none of them are in eyesight, and that would have been cheating anyway. So,
although the first one I have that I caught from a game was made by a company called Inglasco. So I guess they're the ones who used to make it.
So that sounds like a front for anything else.
Kind of like all the conspiracy theories for the mattress company.
Oh, yes.
What?
You've never heard that?
No.
There's a big conspiracy. Allison was telling me this out there, that supposedly the chain of mattress firm stores are a front for the Illuminati, because nobody could ever buy mattresses that often for a store to survive just selling mattresses.
That's right. You did tell me that. Yeah, I believe it.
After the first intermission, Joe has 50 points. Andrew has 40 points. This is where we turn it over to Aaron Barkley.
Hello, Andrew. You're going to pick first from the following categories. Famous Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's hit song by the band King, or Hubba Hubba. Your selection, sir.
What was the middle category again?
A hit song by the band King.
Oh, God. This is one of these trap things. Are these all Ryan names?
Yep.
Of course they are. I think for the sake of the fun of it, I have to go for the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar one, even though I have no, you know what, Joe's going to pick it anyway. So let's go with,
you know me so well.
let's go with the trap one and the, you know what? I'm all over the map on this one. Hubba Hubba.
All right.
Wow. That one came out of nowhere. All right. I expected you to zig and you zag.
I smelled traps all over the place. So
you smell good. Yeah. This is a category about athletes that made it into an issue of People's Sexiest Man Alive.
Oh boy.
Number one. After appearing between the covers in 2007, 2008, 2013, and 2014, who became so far the only person to grace the cover who was predominantly known for being an athlete?
Oh boy. Who's a pretty boy who would have been... Who would have happened after all that? Because otherwise I was going to go David Beckham, but I don't have a better guess. So I'm going to go David Beckham.
I mean, it's a good thing you did, because that's the correct answer.
Hey. Yeah.
I don't know why you're trying to talk yourself out of it. But
because I thought he would have been sexy around the time of the movie Bend It Like Beckham, and not now when he's, you know, famous for whatever, for being married to a Spice Girl.
I don't know. There's no accounting for how people wind up on the cover of that magazine.
Maybe people really adore the fact that he's bringing the MLS to Miami.
Very sexy.
Yeah.
Well, he hasn't been on the cover since 2014, so he's dropped off precipitously. Mm. Number two, what man known more nowadays for a career outside of his college career or professional sports, in quotes, career, grabbed the cover the following year? What?
The only person I can think of who would fit that description is Tim Tebow.
That's incorrect, but I understand why you guessed it.
Okay. Joe?
It's Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
It is Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Okay.
Came to me. Yeah.
So have you guys seen, he's got a new show coming out on, I think it's on NBC. Yeah, it's on whatever channel. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like
Titan Games or something like that.
Yeah, it's like American Ninja Warrior, but with strongman stuff.
Yeah.
And I cannot wait. Like, it is all of my interest on TV, hosted by Dwayne The Rock Johnson. It's going to be great.
So we're going to get you on the show, right?
I mean, no, but a girl can dream. it's going to be cool, because like with American Ninja Warrior, I can watch and go, you know, I can't really identify with the athleticism, but I respect it. With this stuff, I'm like, I do that stuff. I don't do it that well, but you know, it's the same kind of thing. So I'm very excited.
I'd have to imagine it would be like if I were to watch the professional Java Coders League or something.
Exactly. You know, that could be a thing. I'm not surprised by anything anymore.
If esports is a thing, I don't see why professional competitive coding can't make it.
Yeah.
They can. They can. It's just not on TV.
Yeah.
Catch it on the Ocho. Right next to Pesapolo ball.
That was a callback.
I actually number picked three. That one up.
Oh. Hooray. You're getting warm. Number three. In the 2014 issue, what man was quoted saying, "I don't go through life trying to be sexy. I go through life trying to help others," which is about the most typical thing you would expect him to say.
I'm going to go with LeBron James.
Incorrect. Joe?
Okay. Can you read that again?
Sure. In the 2014 issue, what man was quoted as saying, "I don't go through life trying to be sexy. I go through life trying to help others," which is about the most typical thing you would expect him to say.
And it's an athlete. I'm not sure. Expect him to say, who's a good-looking guy? Cam Newton.
Cam Newton, incorrect. Yeah. All right, the answer is Tim Tebow.
Oh, my God, really?
One question off.
Yeah.
Number four. What IndyCar driver made the 2007 issue where he sat propped up against his car's tire with a big black 3 on a red background behind him?
God, I figure I should know this one. But I'm hooped at NASCAR, so I'm going to go with the most obvious one I can think of, which is Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Incorrect, but I do. I like the use of the word hooped there. I've never heard that before. John, do you have a guess?
Can you say it, the question once again?
Yep. What IndyCar driver made the 2007 issue where he sat propped up against his car's tire with a big black 3 on a red background behind him?
Okay. IndyCar driver, only like a few of them coming to mind. I'm just going to guess Helio Castroneves.
That is correct.
Wow. Okay.
Good ball.
One of my three.
Extra points for me naming a NASCAR guy and not a IndyCar guy.
Yes.
I was very proud of you. Yeah. Number five. Number five. In 1997, the same year he won his first of two consecutive U.S. Opens, what Aussie tennis star mentioned in his issue that he never dated girls in high school because he was afraid of them?
Let's see. Aussie golfer around then. I'm going to go the shark. I'm going to go Greg Norman.
Great guess, but incorrect. Joe?
Okay. Now you made me think, like, is this golf or tennis?
Did you say tennis and I said a golfer?
I did say tennis, yeah.
Whoops.
Okay, so wow. Yeah. Australian tennis player, the only one I can think of is Leighton Hewitt.
That is also incorrect. At least you're in the right sport. The correct answer is Patrick Rafter.
Oh, I've heard of him.
Greg Norman did have a wicked backhand, though.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And he might also have been afraid of girls in high school. Yeah. Joe,
yes.
You can choose from the following categories. Famous Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's or a hit song by the band King.
I'm going to go with famous Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's.
All right. I'm excited because I have been saying this category name for like 6 weeks now and no one's ever picked it.
No one's touched this. Whoa.
No one's touched it.
I can only imagine.
So this is five questions about famous men named Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Cool.
Yep. Number one. There's no bull about it. What was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's first name at birth?
Lou? Lou Alcindor, so I think I'm going to go with Lou.
Nope. Oh. Andrew.
I've heard this, and it's a trick, obviously. You said no bull about it, so I'm going to guess the crazy name, Taurus.
On the right track, you picked up on the hint, but you went the wrong direction. His given name was Ferdinand.
Oh, wow.
That's right.
Bull who liked to smell flowers.
Did not know that.
Number two. To whom is the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar Award given out annually?
To whom is... I have a couple avenues to go through here, but I'm going to challenge. I'm just going to challenge.
Ooh, of course you are.
Andrew.
Oh, I've heard this. I feel like it's a media award. But I also feel like there's like 10 possibilities for this. I'm going to say NCAA MVP.
That is incorrect. Joe keeps his 10 points. It's given to the best college center.
I was close.
Yeah.
You were on the track.
Yeah. I had too many options with that. I couldn't pick one. Like, it could have been same player, like you said, or it could be best center in NBA or NCAA. Yeah, I wasn't sure.
Yep. That's a good,
good use
a good
your multiple
choice challenge.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number three. In what year was Kareem taken number one overall in the NBA draft by the Milwaukee Bucks?
Oh, let's guess here. 67. 1967.
Incorrect. Andrew.
Well, I was going to guess 1968, so that's what I'm going to guess.
Also incorrect. Correct answer, 1969.
Oh, of course.
If third player gets that one. Yeah. Four. Kareem twice won an award given out annually by the United States Basketball Writers Association, named after what first winner of the award and future teammate of Kareem's?
Oh. Let's, yeah, this is tough. Let's just go with Wilt Chamberlain.
Wilt Chamberlain, incorrect. Andrew, you got a guess?
Not a good one.
Cool.
Let me work this one through. Let's see. Here's the first, his name for the first winner of the awards. It's got to be someone who's a future teammate. Okay, does that make him younger or older? I'm going to say Malone and cross my fingers.
Incorrect. It is the Oscar Robertson Trophy.
Oh, got it.
Cool.
It goes the best collegiate player overall, and it's the oldest award of its kind.
Oh.
And now you know.
And I'm two off on that one, too.
Yep. Five. What rival Celtic center won NBA MVP honors during the 1972-73 season between two of Kareem's six total wins?
Maybe it was too early for this. I'm not sure. I'll just go with Bill Russell.
That's incorrect. Andrew.
I was also going to go with Bill Russell. So, would it be? No. Did he ever play? I'm going to go Lucky Johnson here. We'll go with Johnson.
That's also incorrect. It is Dave Cowens.
Never heard of him.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I think we know why didn't touch that category for a little while.
Thank you for stepping on that landmine all future contestants.
Sure.
All right, so Joe picked up 20 points in that round due to an excellent use of his challenge. Andrew picked up 10. Going into the second intermission, Joe has 70, Andrew has 50. You can pick those points up in this intermission, though. I'm going to give you four super famous athletes. You're going to tell me which teams these athletes ended their careers with. Cool?
Cool.
All right, number one, Wayne Gretzky. Number two, Charles Barkley. Number three, Vinny Testaverde. Number four, Thierry Henry. This was on a club level, not a national level. And if you haven't figured out where your fast forward button is yet, now's the time to do that.
If you have a question or category suggestion, or you'd like to appear on the Sports Trivia Faceoff, always feel free to send an email to brent@sportstriviafaceoff.com or join the Sports Trivia Faceoff group on Facebook.
And we're back. Which team did Wayne Gretzky end his career with? Joe?
I think it's the Rangers.
And Andrew?
It is definitely the New York Rangers.
It was the New York Rangers. Two, Charles Barkley. Joe?
I think it was the Rockets, Houston Rockets.
And Andrew?
I don't know, so I said the Suns.
It was the Houston Rockets. Number three, Vinny Testaverde.
Okay, a couple names came through my head. I went with Dolphins to finish out his career.
Okay, and Andrew?
I went with the team that inspired the most rage in me and went with the New England Patriots.
Both good guesses for valid reasons, but he finished his career with the Carolina Panthers.
Whoa. Shocker for me.
And four, Thierry Henry on a club level.
Yeah, he finished with the New York Red Bulls in MLS.
Oh. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, Joe. Andrew?
I had no clue, so I just went with a French team and went with Paris Saint-Germain.
He did finish with the New York Red Bulls.
And I recall hearing that now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He was, and I've probably told this story on this podcast before, but I was living in Ireland the year that his handball got France into the World Cup and knocked Ireland out. So yeah, so it was 2010 World Cup. Thierry Henry handball in one of the playing games. France advanced, Ireland did not. And as the entire nation of Ireland banded together in their hatred of France, and Thierry Henry specifically, which apparently had some pretty serious psychological consequences on him down the road. Like he had a really tough time dealing with all the backlash, which was probably unfair. You know, like people were really cruel to him. But they do this stuff in Ireland. Like there were pubs where you do a pool where you pay like 10 euro and you get a team. And if your team is like the first to get a red card, you get money. If your team wins a championship, obviously you get money. All the pools had some variation. Like if your team is the first team to beat France, you win money. There was one pub that did every time France got scored against, the entire pub got a free pint.
Nice.
Like the entire country was just like, forget France. There was one, I think it was RTE's coverage. The bracket didn't even have France on it. It was just Ireland. Like it was fun. Cause we don't get into national sports here the way they do in other countries. And the Irish, like their relationship with their national teams and all of the sports was so much fun and so cool. Like, you know, you could drop into a pub during a Six Nations rugby day and you're going to have a great day because your team's playing. It doesn't matter if they win or lose. You're going to have an awesome time watching. That's one of the things I really miss about living there. It was just that the unity that you get from national level sports.
Mm-hmm. Living here in Minnesota, one of the things I get about the unity of national sports is watching my national women's team lose it in a close shootout to the Americans and then be reminded of it every month because this is the sight of many, many of those players, including yesterday at our game.
That was such a good game, though. I mean, I understand. But yes. That's how I felt watching Sidney Crosby score that damn overtime goal in 2010.
So I saw that happen in Pittsburgh. So yeah. Very, very much mixed feelings.
Yeah.
Moving on to the third period, scores are Joe has 85, Andrew has 55. Back to you, Brent.
Back to Andrew and back to me. Andrew, your categories are 2 for 2, 3 for 3, or 30 for 30.
Oh, dear. I'm going to go 3 for 3.
3 for 3. These are 5 questions in which you must name the members of the Big Threes, all among the greatest listed by NBA.com.
I have one heck of a stroke of luck picking these categories, don't I?
This is going to be a very basketball heavy episode. Yes.
Bring it.
Number one. From 2003 to 2016, the San Antonio Spurs.
I'm going to need a second. Let's see, that's the wrong team. Yeah, I'm going to try and at least name 3 basketball players each time.
Okay.
As opposed to, you know, the wrong sport.
We'll give you morale points if you're successful.
See if I can actually name 3 people from the Spurs. Who the hell else played in that team? I've got 2 names. I'm not going to come up with a third. So I'm just going to go with Tim Duncan and Tony Parker and Johnson.
That is an incorrect answer, Joe.
I feel like you got 2 of the 3. I'm pretty sure Tim Duncan's one of them. Tony Parker might be one of them, and I'm going to go with the third being David Robinson.
That is also incorrect. The 3 that he has listed are Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, and Manu Ginobili.
I'm in Ginobili too. I was vacillating between Robinson and Ginobili. Yep. Darn it.
When did Robinson retire?
Yeah, I'm just trying to wonder when did he retire. I took a little while, but like he definitely didn't last until 2016. I wasn't sure if that was going to be determining.
Right.
Yeah, just like the best in that time, yeah.
Number 2, from 1968 to 1969, the Los Angeles Lakers.
At least I feel like I can name 2. Oh, but maybe I can't because he wouldn't have been there. Because Kareem was drafted in 1969, so it can't be him.
I heard that somewhere.
Yeah. Who the hell would have played in that team? Beat LA, not Bill Russell, anti-Bill Russell. Okay, I'm going to go with Oscar Robertson, Nega Bill Russell, and a time-traveling Bugs Bunny.
Shockingly, that is an incorrect answer. Joe.
Okay, yeah, I think you got 2 of those right. Let me just check which one of the third one was. I'm going to go with, let's see, Jerry West, Wilt Chamberlain, Elgin Baylor.
That is a correct answer.
Cool. Wow.
I feel like that should be worth more than 5 points, but that is worth 5 points.
Nice job.
Thanks.
Number three, from 1985 to 86, the Boston Celtics.
I'm going to get Andrew? One. I'm aware. let's see. Would he have been there? I'm going to say maybe. Oh, boy. I'm naming names here. I'm glad you don't have the video so you can see me sweating or kvetching or burning up on the spot, because mostly I'm just going for the comedy on this one. Oh, boy.
Morale points for using the term kvetching. I'm a big fan.
It has its needs. It has its moments. Oh, okay. Larry Bird and two scrubs. Or at least to my mind, they're probably actually very good players. And I don't want to tip Joe off because I'm going to get it wrong. So I'm going to say Larry Bird, Evil Magic Johnson, and let's go Daffy Duck.
All righty. That surprisingly is not one of the correct answers, Joe.
I had Larry Bird, and I'm going to say Robert Parrish and Kevin McHale.
You are correct again for 5 points.
Yeah, I should have had McHale just based on that Cheers episode.
Yes.
I'm going to jump in for a second to be pedantic. Andrew, I believe the word you were searching for a minute ago was schwitzing. Kvetching is what I do when I'm in a cold place. Schwitzing is what I do when I'm in a hot place. Kvetching means complaining.
I could be chilling. Yes. Oh, I'm definitely complaining about something.
Sorry, my grandparents were of Romanian Jewish descent, so they spent a lot of time swearing at me in Yiddish when I was a kid. So most Yiddish words I know are Yiddish swear words. I know, but picked up a couple others as well. That's all.
Number four. From 1972 to 73, the New York Knicks.
Jesus.
He wasn't one of them.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to give Joe any ammunition here. So I'm just going to say the reincarnated versions of Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, and Joe DiMaggio. Although Joe DiMaggio was still alive then, so that would have been weird.
Okay, let me check just to be sure. And no, sorry, I can't accept that.
Nuts.
I would watch that movie, though.
Oh, so would I.
To Joe?
Yeah, I can only pull last names, I think. Let's go with Frazier, Reed, and Monroe.
Correct again for 5 points.
All right. Is it Walt Frazier or Clyde? Walt Frazier or Clyde Frazier?
Walt Frazier, Willis Reed, and Earl Monroe.
Earl Monroe, yeah. Yeah. These are, yeah. Old school basketball's a rough spot for me, but I can pull out just things out of some sneaky orifices at some point in my life.
Mm-hmm. Not as rough for you as it is for Andrew, apparently.
Nope. Hey, you give me a wheelhouse sport and I'm going to have a little more luck, but okay. This one.
Yeah.
Number five, the 2004-2005 Phoenix Suns.
I might actually have a chance on this one. I'm going to think about it. All right. I've got two names and that's all it's going to come to me. But for the sake of dignity, I'm at least going to say Steve Nash, because it's the one that I'm, 50% confident on. But to keep Joe from getting any further ammunition, I am going to go with, because I'm pretty sure he's going to get this one. No challenges is going to happen. I'm going to say Steve Dash, my dog Tesla, and Austin Matthews when he was 6 years old.
No. Joe?
Okay, I have Steve Nash. I'm going to go with Amari Stoudemire and Sean Marion.
That is, again, correct for 5 points. So, Andrew, if nothing else...
I have the dignity of snaking it. Yeah.
Well, you have the dignity of keeping Joe from selecting that category for himself and getting 40 points instead of the 20 that he got.
Mm-hmm. Hey, defense.
That's right.
Wins championships.
The old rope-a-dope.
Yep.
So, Joe, you have your choice between 2 for 2 or 30 for 30.
I hope the 30 for 30 is about ESPN films. I'm going to go with 30 for 30.
And 30 for 30 are 5 questions in which you name the topic of the given ESPN 30 for 30 based on its title.
Cool.
Number 1, Pony Excess.
Pony Excess was about the Southern Methodist University football scandal.
That is correct for 10 points. Number 2, June 17th, 1994.
June 17th, 1994. I've seen way too many OJ documentaries about this. This is one of them included. It's the day where a lot of those big sports things happened. NBA Finals game, opening the World Cup matches, and the chase of OJ.
Also, that the Rangers Stanley Cup.
Yep, Stanley Cup as well.
That's what I was going for.
I was at Busch Stadium that night watching the Cardinals, so the news of the chase kind of hit us like a ton of bricks when we turned on the game to listen to the post-game show and they were talking about OJ being arrested.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have legit watched about 25 hours worth of OJ documentary/mockumentary/ anthology series.
Is the one that ESPN did that was like a multi-part series, was that one good? Because I thought about watching that one.
Yeah, Made in America. I enjoyed that. It's very long. I think it was about 10 hours worth of content. I think it won either Emmys or Oscars for Best Documentary. Yeah, it was very intense.
Cool.
Set aside a good weekend for it.
Nice.
Number 3, Elway to Marino.
Elway to Marino was about that draft year where they have, if you need me to give the year, I can guess and give you a year. I'm not sure, though. It's the year that Elway, Marino, and Jim Kelly were all drafted the same year.
I think that's good enough, don't you, Aaron?
Yeah, that's fine. He needs the points, so we should give it to him.
Was it 83?
He's been struggling this round. So
was the year 1983?
It was 83, yeah.
Okay.
That is correct for 10 points. Number 4, Nature Boy.
Nature Boy. Oh, I haven't seen this one, but I think this one is about Ric Flair. Pro wrestler Ric Flair.
Ric Flair is correct, and shame on Ryan for breaking the one rule of the podcast.
Hey. Hey, come on.
And number 5, my favorite of the bunch, Catching Hell.
Catching Hell was the about Steve Bartman. It was the Steve Bartman controversy and subsequent backlash, which I think was undue.
That is correct. And Joe took a 70-0 advantage over the third period. Going into the shootout, the score is 155-55. And we send it over to Aaron.
So you're calling the tune for me to pick up that 100-point bonus, right? Because, oh boy.
That would be helpful to you, yes.
All right. Well, it's good to have your objectives in mind. It's like my vision board.
Yes. And we send the shootout to Aaron.
That's me. Great.
In the shootout, both players take a shot at being the closest to the correct answer of 3 questions. If either player is closer on more questions than the other, they get 20 points. If a player is closer on all 3 questions, they get 50 points. If a player is within 10% of the correct answer on all 3 questions, they are awarded an extra 100-point hat trick bonus.
So, gentlemen, I'm going to give you 3 events. You're going to give me the year in which they occurred. For the purpose of the hat trick bonus, your wiggle room is a decade on either side.
Okay.
Cool. Number 1, the year in which Lou Gehrig was born. Number 2, the year which marked the first time the Eagles fans booed and threw snowballs at Santa. Again, that's the first time this has happened. And number 3, the first America's Cup is held. And while they are thinking back in time, here's something for you guys to listen to.
Planning your own trivia event? Visit the Trivia Night Guy at TriviaNightGuy.com to purchase trivia questions in all categories for an event that will give your audience a challenging and fun night of trivia.
All right, Joe, what year was Lou Gehrig born?
Yeah, wasn't sure. I feel like he was 20th century. I just went with 1901.
And Andrew.
So I tried to figure out when he gave that Pride of the Yankees speech. He probably would have been near the end of his career, but not too close. And I figured that was 19. That would have been, he would have been about 35 or 36. So I said 1902.
All right. Good logic. The correct answer is 1903.
Ooh.
So you're both within 10%, but Andrew picks up the win for being closer.
Nice job.
Number two.
My coin. Thank you.
Number two, the first time Eagles fans booed and threw snowballs at Santa. Joe.
Okay, I should know this being an Eagles fan. I think we are very upset about management and that we didn't tank enough to get O.J. Simpson, draft O.J. Simpson first of all, funnily enough. I said 1967.
And Andrew.
I figured all my memories of bad Philadelphia sports fans came with the Big Bad Flyers in the 70s, so I went with 1973.
All right, the correct answer is 1968.
Nice job.
So once again, you're both within 10%, but Joe picks up the win. So we are tied going into number three. The first America's Cup is held. Andrew.
I went 100 years before my previous guess because I figured like it was going to be the late 19th century. And knowing no extra precision, I went 1873.
All right. And Joe.
Yeah, similar thinking. I feel like it was really old. I just went 1880.
All right. It is really old. The correct answer is 1851.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Super old.
So, Joe, you are off by 29. Andrew, you were only off by 22 years on that one.
Ah, needed 12 more.
Yeah, so not, unfortunately in that one, neither of you was within the 10-year window. So, with two shootout wins, or two, yeah, picking up two correct answers in the shootout, but neither of you swept and neither of you got three within 10%. Andrew's going to pick up 20 points from the shootout. So after a nail biter of a shootout, Andrew has 75. Joe has 155. Andrew, I think the categories kind of bit you this week.
Oh, well, if only 3 for 3 had been about NHL overtime in the modern era, I might have been a little better off, but it was not to be. Joe, you play sure a hell of a game.
Yeah, well done, Andrew. Yeah. It's just how the categories fell. I mean, I'm sorry. But well done anyway. We'll sell this again. I'm happy to do a rematch, whether here or on the Pesarolo pitch.
I think if we're going to ever have any kind of a reunion or any kind of a showdown, Pesabello has got to be the official sport of any kind of STFO grudge matches.
I will be on the lookout for a pentagonal field.
I'm down.
And that wraps up the match. Joe is our winner today, 155-75 in what turned out to be a very basketball-heavy episode. Joe, is there anything you'd like to say in closing?
Thanks for having me on. Pleasure as always. Hope to see you guys soon. Hopefully Geek Bowl, if you guys are coming around for Geek Bowl.
I'll be there.
Oh, darn. Brett not.
I will not.
Darn. All right, no. Well, thanks for having me on, Fleetwood. And Andrew, I'll see you at Geek Bowl, I'm assuming, too.
As much as I would love to be a Geek Bowl, work is going to get in the way this year. So I'm going to miss you all very dearly who are there, except Brent, who I'll just miss in the regular way.
Okay. That's touching and a little disturbing. Andrew, anything you'd like to say in closing?
Well, I'm going to shill for something, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. Please do.
Well, we alluded earlier to millionaire and money winnings. And one of the things that I'm doing with my winnings is I'm trying to get people to donate to charities that I think are important. And by doing that, if people will give to this, then I will give too. So if anybody would like to find my Facebook link to the to quiz the season 2018, I'm going to be doing a thing that will be happening between when we're recording this and when this is going out. But if anybody wants to make a donation to cancer research, immunotherapy specifically, or cancer treatment to the children's hospitals in Minnesota who do some great things, I would be honored to match your donation. So give it a look, give it in someone's name. It'll be a it'll make many more Christmases merry, or just go back and see the video of it that I'll be posting to YouTube.
Excellent. Well, for Aaron and Joe and Andrew, this is Brent. We are signing off. We will see you next time you download.
Ciao.
Happy holidays, everyone.
This has been the Sports Trivia Face-Off. Thank you very much for listening. The Sports Trivia Face-Off is hosted by Brent Bollmeyer and Aaron Barkley. Questions are written by Ryan Clefcorn Myers. And the Sports Trivia Face-Off is recorded, edited, and produced by Brent Bollmeyer.
So the answer, and I just pulled this up, the answer Ryan had for Pony Excess was SMU football death penalty?
Yes.
Which, and I pulled the Wikipedia page, and now I understand why it says that, but, you know, it sounded, just from reading that little cell in the spreadsheet, way more serious than what it was.
Yeah, the death penalty, yeah, not that serious. But not still serious.
One, yeah.
Yeah. Philadelphia sports fans came with the Big Bad Flyers in the 70s, so I went with 1973.
Whoa, who was that?
And someone doesn't like my answer in 1973.
Andrew, was that in your...
Wasn't me.
Neighborhood?
Wasn't me.
Was it a police siren you heard or something like that?
It was a honk of a horn.
It was a car honking.
I live in New York City.
There we go.
Yeah, it was you.
Enough said.
Yeah.
I know. I love how he didn't even notice it.
Yeah, it's just a thing. It's just what it is now.